Stanley.
Yes.
Hi, it's Mark Snyder. How are you?
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good.
What's happening?
Oh, just waiting for you guys.
Well, I'm here. Here I am.
There you go.
And we just played the intro to the My Three Sons theme song.
There we go.
Does that sound real familiar to you still? Can you hear
still,
it?
Still pretty familiar.
I guess you'll always be Chip, won't you?
I think so. That's going to probably be on my tombstone there.
You know what hit me incredibly today? I was looking at the directory of primetime programming. That September will be 40 years since My Three Sons went on.
Yeah, 40 years this year.
Yeah.
Amazing, huh?
Isn't that unbelievable?
Time flies.
Wow. Now, how old were you when you started on the show?
I was 9 years old when we did the pilot.
Because they had you playing a 7-year-old on the show.
Yeah, I was a little bit older than I looked. And I said, started on Ozzie and Harriet, so I've already been working for quite a while by the time I got My Three Sons.
It's interesting, actually, that there's a lot of Disney connection there because previous experience, because you have Fred McMurray and Tim Considine, who starred together in The Shaggy Dog. Don Grady was a musketeer,
yes.
And there you were. You were on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, so all you guys were pretty well known to people already.
Yeah, and we had all, worked for quite a while by that point, so we were veterans.
What was it like for you
when
you first started, Tim was a young guy at the time, but he wasn't young like you. Well, you were really the only...
geezer to me.
Was that?
I said he seemed like an old geezer to me.
Yeah.
When you're that age and somebody's in their late teens, I mean, they always seem like an adult. But yeah, when I look back now, I go, gosh, Tim was really only 19 years old.
Yeah. Now, how was it for you at the time, being the only little kid around? Was it lonely? Was it tough? How was it?
That part was a little bit weird, but, there were so many kids that were on the show in the earlier years. We had neighborhood kids on there, too. In fact, my brother, that's how he got into My Three Sons, I always had a friend.
Yeah, in fact, two of your friends were kind of famous in terms of their characters. Do you remember a couple of the characters' names?
There was Sudsy.
Yeah, Sudsy Pfeiffer.
Yeah, a guy named Ricky Allen. I don't know if he's still around or not.
Yeah. How about Ernie Thompson?
And Ernie Thompson was just my real brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ernie Thompson, of course, became Ernie Thompson Douglas when he was adopted.
Right.
Yeah. But now, how did your brother get that gig? I mean, was it because of you completely?
It's the old Hollywood story. No nepotism in Hollywood. Barry had already started working, too, a little bit before that. In fact, Barry and I did the last Ozzie and Harriet that I did together. And he had worked just previous to that, doing, some other TV shows and a few movies. And needless to say, they knew about him. He would come to the set with my mom and... they knew I was leaving, and they sort of liked me as their neighborhood kid. And Barry kind of took my place. So after I left Ozzie and Harriet in 1960, they sort of replaced not my character, but just the idea that there was a neighborhood kid that they sort of let into the house with Barry. And then same thing happened to My Three Sons.
Barry's kind of a squirrel, just follows your success everywhere, huh?
Yeah, in those days, that's kind of how it worked. I know a lot of kids that, went on interviews with their brother or sister and eventually, got work that way. And it's a small world.
In My Three Sons, as it went along, got much more complicated because all the kids started getting married, including your character, who actually eloped at 17.
I know. I think they were just kind of running out of ideas is what it was. And that was sort of... what you did in those days. I think if we lasted another year, they would have married the dog.
Tramp would have got married too, huh?
Yeah.
Was it fun working with Tramp, by the way?
He could be a little bit trying.
Really?
He somehow didn't take direction as well as the rest of the actors. So he sort of had a mind of his own. Actually, the original Tramp was really kind of a little more fun dog. And, you know, and I was younger then, so I was really into that dog.
Yeah.
Towards the latter years, it was actually Tramp's grandson we were working with.
Wow.
And actually, he wasn't really even the same color. They had to dye him. It was just sort of a bluish gray, I guess you would say. They had his own hairdresser.
Now, you got to work for a while before he passed away with William Frawley.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What was he like as a guy to work with?
Pretty much, you know, how you saw him on TV, you know, from the Lucy show. That's kind of where I, you know, knew him from before that.
Yeah.
He was my favorite character on that show. He was, you know, cantankerous there. And anyway, he came to my three sons. We hit it off great. You know, he had no kids, and I had no grandfather, and Bill became kind of a surrogate grandfather to me. Yeah, I was really, really close with him. Probably out of everybody, the closest, you know.
So when you were about, 13, 14 when he passed away?
Yeah, about 13, 14.
That must have been very difficult then.
Yeah, it was. We had become, you know, like I said, really close. And, you know, Bill wasn't exactly the best person with kids, but for some reason, you know, he really took a shine to me. And, you know, we were close. And in fact, I remember on my, I think it was 12, 13th birthday, you know, here's a guy that didn't know anything about kids. And he knew I was into surfing then. And I remember I think it was my birthday, and he, you know, I walked in my dressing room, there was a surfboard. And, you know, he had taken the time to find out about surfboards and went out and bought a surfboard, put it in my dressing room. It is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, if you think back.
Yeah.
Now, what about William Demarest when he came in? It must have been a little difficult for the adjustment.
Well, it was a little bit difficult because, you know, you'd already built up a relationship. And I think when you're younger, you know, it probably like real life, another sort of parent steps in, or a step-parent, you know, you don't greet them quite with open arms, so to speak. And Bill, you know, we became pretty good friends there, you know.
He also played a very crusty kind of character.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely cut from the same cloth. The crusty cloth.
Yeah, I always wonder about these stereotype things, but boy, sometimes these casting people get right on, huh?
Well, you know, Wim Frawley had really sort of established that character, and I think they wanted somebody that basically could fill those shoes. You know, they didn't want to change the type of person he was.
Yeah.
Bill Demarest in his own way was, you know, equally as good. In fact, in reality, he was probably a much more respected and prolific character actor than Bill Frawley. You know, Bill Frawley was probably more known from the Lucy show than anything else, although he'd worked as a character actor for years. But, you know, if you look back, historically speaking, at Bill Demarest's work, I mean, he was in all the A films, you know, was nominated for Academy Award, and, you know, just, you know, I think he probably was a little bit better caliber actor, too.
We're talking with, of course, Stanley Livingston, who played Chip Douglas on My Three Sons, and we just mentioned a little while ago, 40 years, it'll be coming up soon, the 40th anniversary of this, and obviously you're doing many other things since that show went off the air, and I know that we recently spoke, and you are actually, right now, you just finished something called Checkers.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. That's going to be coming out when?
Well, it'll probably be sometime next year. We just wrapped production last Sunday night, and it's a feature film that I produced.
Who is in it, and what's it about?
It's another crusty character actor named Richard Hurd.
Sure.
Richard Hurd's kind of a, you know, he's probably like a Bill Demarest, you know, until My Three Sons. Bill Demarest was probably one of these guys where, you know, you knew the face. He just didn't know the name. Richard Hurd's kind of like that. He's just been in so many movies. He was also on Seinfeld. I believe he was George's boss on that show for a number of years. And there's another actor that probably is familiar face, an actor named Jack Kaler, who he's in a lot of the Coen Brother movies. Fargo, I know specifically he was in. Which of the other ones, I'm not really sure. But
So what exactly was Checkers about?
It's a dark family comedy. A father who drops in on his four middle-aged sons. In fact, I really didn't even, you know, pick up the parallel to My Three Sons until kind of late in the game, because it's such different material. And he's not real well received, you know, by his sons when he arrives in town, and he, you know, tries to stay with one, and the second he gets there, the first son's calling the next son, "Can you help me with Dad? He's here. Did you know he's coming?"
Hmm.
And what the film's about is these four brothers really have a lot of problems because of this guy, and it isn't very specific at first why, because the guy seems very likable and, you know, a little bit kooky, and then come to realize this guy was a real tyrant when they were growing up, and the kids are sort of, like I said, they're middle-aged at this point, but they have a lot of problems, and anyway, how it comes to light, a lot of it's pretty funny, but in a dark way.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be distributed nationally?
I hope so, you know, you never know.
Like, it's a crapshoot, right?
It's like any film, you know, you find material you like, and you do it, and you know, you hope it finds an audience. So I'll worry about that at the point where we get a cut and, you know, go on.
I have a note here from, actually I'm going on these notes that the producer handed me, and one of the things he wrote down was something about My Three Sons owned by Michael Douglas or something?
Well,
what exactly is that?
Yeah, if we're going to do a My Three Sons reunion, I said, geez, we'd love to. And you know what, we had tried to do it actually over the years.
You did have one, didn't you?
Well... We did a My Three Sons special for Dick Clark.
Yeah, My Three Sons reunion special.
Right, and we did it with the Partridge Family.
Oh.
Figure.
Okay.
I have no idea. There's some machine out there that said, gee, if you know, we did My Three Sons and put the Partridge Family together, we would have great ratings. So it was more, we weren't in character. We kind of reminisced about
I
the
see.
Show. So to do something in character, I think, is... You know, maybe someday we'd like to do that. We tried to do it, like I said, a few times, and at that point, Fred was just very reluctant, you know, to become involved. You know, he just felt, oh, you know, I'm older now, and you know, all people want to look at is how old I am, and
right.
I really get into it. So it never really got off the ground. And anyway, I think we tried one other time after that, and it was just the feeling was, well, you know, Fred McMurray's not in it, and you know, so why do it? And, so we just sort of let it lay there, and then we've kind of come up with a storyline that we thought was pretty interesting, decided to take a stab at it again and approach the powers to be, and anyway, we found out the rights had been taken, so I thought, well, that's good, you know, maybe they'll get somebody to do My Three Sons, and you know, maybe a good TV actor like Tim Allen. Anyway, what I found out, I guess it was a couple months later, who had snapped up the rights was Michael Douglas, and... I guess his intention is to develop it as a feature film for himself, with himself playing the...
There's a reason why he grabbed that, Stanley.
It's what?
Do you know why he grabbed that movie?
Why is that?
Because there was a character named Michael Douglas.
Oh, that's yeah, one of the little ironies we saw, too.
That's got to be it. You
well,
know?
I think he's getting up there into the actually the age where Fred McMurray was when he did the pilot. And, you know, he's not a younger leading man anymore. You know, I mean, you know, you got to move on to other sorts of things, and he's actually very good at light comedy too. I mean,
yeah, when I advertised that you were going to be coming on here, we mentioned it on our website and things, and someone actually sent an email and asked if you remembered what address you lived at on the show, which I could not believe you would even remember things like that. But
I remember the city was Bryant Park early on, but I don't remember the specific address.
This person says that you folks lived at 837 Mill Street.
Yeah, that's right. That does ring a bell.
And all I have to say to that person, I know they're listening right now. That person, whoever wrote it in, and I won't even read their email address. Get a life! Get a life!
Now, that's the minutia.
That's unbelievable. People, they know all this stuff, which is amazing to me.
Unfortunately, they know it better than I do at this point.
Well, how would you really remember things like that? You've had so many things that you've done. You've written a ton of stuff, directed a ton of stuff. It's not like you've sat around and just thought about Chip all day.
No, it's not, but I think no matter what I do, if I ever reach any other level of success in this industry, you know, that's going to be it. You know,
I really
realize that now because I remember we went to a thing called the Jewel Gala for Fred McMurray, which is a big ceremony in Hollywood where, you know, they commemorate his body of work. And, you know, here was everybody in Hollywood. And literally, this guy had done, 100 films? And, I mean, some really great ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Apartment, Caine Mutiny, Double Indemnity. And then, you know, I realized, geez, what people still, even the industry, is appreciating him most for was My Three Sons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of overshadowed and eclipsed everything he did.
Well, you played that character for 12 years. That's a long time, 450 episodes.
Yeah, TV and TV years, that's a long time. Most shows back in those days probably lasted 4 or 5 years if they were lucky, and somehow we squeaked through. Well, the reason we squeaked through, I think, was Fred McMurray. I mean, it was just, people have, I mean, to put it in perspective for people today to look at, you know, our show and Fred McMurray on our show, you know, they're like, okay, it sort of fit in. But in 1960, when Fred McMurray came to do a TV series, it was unheard of, absolutely unheard of. I mean, the only thing that big stars of his caliber would do would maybe occasionally do a guest spot on a variety show. I mean, it would be as if Michael Douglas said, you know what, I'm going to do a TV series. Mm. Or Robert Redford suddenly said, you know, I'm going to do a TV series and I want to play the dad on a show. I mean, that's the caliber of actor you're talking about at that point in time when he came to TV to do this. It was unheard of. And I think that probably had a lot to do with his longevity. The fact that he had a star of that caliber, maybe they were afraid to take him off. I don't know.
In the last 2 weeks or so, we've talked to folks like Kathy Garver from Family Affair and Lou Calvin from Flipper.
In fact, her show was produced by my boss, and they were on the next stage over.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And they're really nice people, and they both have websites, and they're selling photos and all kinds of things, and people are really into it. And I assume you also have a website, stanleylivingston.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's on there at this point?
Well, it's sort of a fan site. You know, it I think has information about just about everything I could remember that I did. Sometimes I forget things, and people remind me, oh, I saw you in this or I saw you in that, and I'll add it to it. Yeah, that, photographs. I mean, if people want photographs, I put a lot of them on there because some people want photographs not from my three sons. Or a lot of people are just unaware, you know, that you've done other things. That's just, you know, like I said, how you're known.
Do you have any Ozzie and Harriet stuff out there?
I have some Ozzie and Harriet photos in there. I was in a lot of films earlier in my career. I was in, you know, How the West Was Won, which was big film. In fact, it was the last Cinerama movie ever made. I was George Peppard's son in that film. I did Please Don't Eat the Daisies with Doris Day and David Niven, and Rally Round the Flag with Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward.
Now, you also did Private Parts. It says, I saw that. I don't remember you in it.
I'm in the earlier version of that. It was a film directed by Paul Bartel, who recently passed away, that the title was Private Parts. In fact, that was why the film was not very widely distributed. It was actually pretty well made and got a great review from Judith Crist. I don't want to say it's like Halloween, but it's kind of, you know, in that vein. It's pretty intense for the time it was made. And the producers, in their infinite wisdom, when I originally got the script, it was called Vital Parts. And I was like, what is this? You know, which, I mean, you say that name now, Vital Parts, Private Parts, people don't even bat an eye. But, and at the time, I didn't really bat an eye either. But I thought, well, it's kind of a sensational name, maybe. I don't know. So anyway, this is back in the...
So it's a different one.
You know, the sexual mores.
So I thought I went, wow, because I saw that movie.
So I didn't think too much of it, but I'll tell you what, that killed that movie. What happened was right around that period of time, the newspapers were no longer... Well, they were taking ads still from, you know, porno houses. This was before porno went to video.
Mm-hmm.
And but what the way they would do is gray them out. Well, that was in the big cities, New York, L.A., and to make sure you knew it was pornography. Well, this wasn't a porno film. It was, you know, a regular movie. But because of the title, it got grayed out. And in cities other than New York, L.A., Chicago, they would not run the title. They thought the title sounded like pornography. And they never really did get a general wide release. And it languished in the MGM vault from about 1973, I think, is when it was made. Till, you know, recently. I know it's played on TV.
Is it on video now?
It is. In fact, somebody sent me a video, so I guess somehow, some way, they got it.
Cool. Glad to check that out in the stores. Ask for the other Private Parts if you get a chance.
So when I saw the Howard Stern version, it's like, oh, wow.
Now, you just mentioned two films you did, Please Don't Eat the Daisies and How the West Was Won. Good quality films.
Yeah,
but, you know, I have to be honest with my audience. You also had some other incredible films like Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold, Bikini Driving. We're talking quality family films.
We're talking about 1990s here. Yeah, actually, a friend of mine who's a director, a guy named Fred Olin Ray, kind of cranks those out. And, like I said, I you know, work a little bit more behind the scenes these days. And one of them is a cameo that I did for him. In fact, a lot of people, in fact, most of them are directors that did the cameos in Bikini. So it's kind of like a joke. And the other one, there was an actor who was supposed to play the part that I guess bombed out on my friend. And, you know, Fred gave me a buzz. Hey, can you help me out?
Need you here in this important film. Yeah. We're talking with Stanley Livingston. Before I let you go, I just want to ask you about what I think is one of the great things about the keeping of some of the best shows from years ago. I'm a big fan of your show, of My Three Sons, and Dobie Gillis, and many of these other old shows. And I just love Nick at Nite and TV Land for bringing them to a new generation. And I'm just wondering, when you go around now, you don't only see crusty people my age, but also a lot of young kids, I assume, that know who you are from the show because of the current venue that it's on TV.
Yeah. You know, kids, you know, from the late teens up, you know, they're really into the shows, I guess. It's, you know, it portrays a different era, a different time, you know. The younger kids, younger than that, that watch the show, sometimes it's funny because they, you know, they look at it and they probably have no idea how long TV's been around at this point. And I think they're expecting to see Chip and Ernie, these 9-10-year-olds, come walking in and, you know, meanwhile, and walk some older guys and it's like, who are these guys? Fortunately, we look a little bit like ourselves, so.
You still look a little like you do when you were younger?
When I don't have a beard or a goatee, I look pretty much like myself.
Oh, so you still look like a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old. That's amazing, Stanley.
I wish
Stanley.
I looked like a 17-year-old, but I can't say I do.
Well, Stanley, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And again, folks out there, go to stanleylivingston.com and check out what's going on with Stanley. We'll all be looking for the arrival of Checkers next year when it comes out, or later this year. And I want to thank you so much for coming on.
It's been great. Thank you.
You take care of yourself.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day.